Brooke Dementa. I am from Holy Cross. We enjoy listening to KRFF Fairbanks 89.1 FM.
89.1 KRFF Fairbanks.
Powerful woman, we lost our language, Tanaka. Tanaka Hani Hai. I learned that woman taught us how to sing a big song. I did, and it lift my heart. It made me live and made my sister live. So, go and see editor Hani Hai Ihu. I'm sad, even though I talk. So,
NPR News in Washington. I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Biden says Israel's offering a roadmap to an enduring ceasefire with Hamas in Gaza and the release of all hostages. At the White House today, Biden laid out a three-phase plan, the first of which involves
full and complete ceasefire, a withdrawal of Israeli forces from all populated areas of Gaza, release of a number of hostages, including women, the elderly, the wounded, in exchange for release of hundreds of Palestinian prisoners. There are American hostages who would be released at this stage, and we want them home.
After 6 weeks, Biden says the remaining two phases involve a permanent end of hostilities and finally the launch of a major reconstruction plan for Gaza. In Israel, the prime minister's office says war will not end until all of its goals are met, including the elimination of Hamas's military and government capabilities. The U.S. says Qatar has transmitted the proposal to Hamas. Fresh off a criminal conviction for hush money payments in New York, former President Donald Trump addressed the media at Trump Tower today, railing against his political rivals and the judicial system.
These are bad people. These are, in many cases, I believe, sick people.
He was found guilty yesterday of 34 felony counts of falsified business records. NPR's Mara Liasson reports on the impact of the verdict on Trump's campaign, GOP support, and the overall impact on voters heading into the November election.
This is going to be a kind of litmus test for Republicans. There already were some other litmus tests, like the 2020 election was rigged, or they won't accept any results of an election unless Donald Trump wins. So the peaceful transfer of power is something that the Republican Party doesn't believe in. And now they're going to say they also don't believe in the justice system. So those have some pretty deep and far-reaching consequences, and I don't think we quite know the extent of what that'll be.
That's NPR's Mara Liasson reporting. The Texas Supreme Court has rejected a petition by a group of women asking the state to clarify the medical exemption to its abortion laws. Olivia Aldridge of member station KUT has details.
Lead plaintiff Amanda Zorosky and some 20 other women argued they should have been able to get an abortion to treat life-threatening pregnancy complications. They said their doctors were afraid to run afoul of a vaguely worded law and incur severe penalties, including prison time. A district judge initially ruled in Zorosky's favor last summer, but the Texas Supreme Court has now overturned that ruling. In a unanimous decision, justices said Texas law is sufficient to allow doctors to use their reasonable medical judgment. Attention remains on the state's medical board, which is in the process of developing guidance for doctors navigating the law. For NPR News, I'm Olivia Aldridge in Austin.
The Dow ends the day up 574 points, or 1.5%. This is NPR News. Senator Joe Manchin switched from Democrat to independent. The lawmaker from West Virginia spoke today of a broken political climate lacking the will to compromise. But it's unclear if he's ready to leave elected office behind, as he previously indicated. Manchin's decision to change party affiliations ahead of an August 1st deadline is fueling speculation he might run again for the U.S. Senate, or maybe for his old job as governor, against Republicans in West Virginia, a largely conservative state. Nearly 300 independent bookstores open in 2023. That's according to a new report from the American Booksellers Association, a national trade association. NPR's Andrew Limbong reports this growth is happening despite a small dip in overall book sales for 2023.
According to the ABA, 291 bookstore businesses opened in 2023, the vast majority of which are brick-and-mortar storefronts, with a handful of them being online or pop-ups. Membership to the trade group has been hitting a stride in recent years. According to the report, membership grew by 11% over last year. That said, 95 bookstore businesses did close in 2023. Book sales spiked during the height of COVID, but have since petered off slightly. In 2023, sales of print books fell by about 2.6%. In adult fiction, Romantasy is still the big seller, namely Rebecca Yarros' book Fourth Wing and its sequel Iron Flame. Andrew Limbong, NPR News.
The Dow closed up 1.5%. The S&P was up more than 0.75%. The NASDAQ closed down slightly. It's NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Disney Plus, with the new Disney Plus original documentary, Jim Henson, Idea Man. Filmmaker Ron Howard captures Henson's artistic evolution in the style and spirit of his complex subject. Now streaming on Disney Plus.
Live, local, and fiercely independent. This is KSKO, McGrath, KMGS, Anvik, KLOP, Holy Cross, KNKO, Shagluk, KGYA, Great Lake, KNIB, Nikolai, KSKC, Crooked Creek, and KSKP, Sleep Mute. Link up to our Facebook page and stream us online at KSKOPublicRadio.com. Proudly serving the Western Interior for more than four decades. Also heard on KRFF, Fairbanks, KNNA, Nenana, KRLL, Circle, KTKF, Toke, and KEAALP Eagle.
Woo! Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? It's always tease, tease, tease. You're happy when I'm on my knees. One day is fine, the next is black. So if you want me off your back, well, come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. And if I stay, it will be double. So come on. Decisions bugging me.
Indecision, they molest us.
If you don't want me, set me free.
Set me, yes, me.
Exactly whom I'm supposed to be. Don't you know which clothes even fit me? Come on and let me know. Should I cool it or should I blow? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. And if I stay, it will be double. So you gotta let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
Should I stay or should I go? The Clash on KSKO. I'm Paul Walker. 12:10 this Friday afternoon, and it is beautiful outside. And I'll tell you, I'm staying. I'm not going anywhere until at least 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock this afternoon. Coming up in about 35 minutes or so, we're going to talk to Haley Reed from the Renewable Energy Alaska Project, and we're going to talk about the energy audits going on this week for homes in McGrath. We're going to talk about that about 12:45. So hang tight if you want to learn more about what that is and what is going on in McGrath over the next few days. Right now in McGrath, a very comfortable 61 degrees. Can't wait to hop out on my ATV after work this afternoon. It'll be a beautiful ATV riding afternoon. Perfect, if you ask me. Sunny today for the Upper Kuskokwim. Highs in the mid to upper 60s. 56 in Anvik right now with fair skies. Partly sunny, isolated showers for the lower Yukon and Anoka Valleys today. Highs in the lower to mid 60s. 58 and cloudy in Sleetmute for the lower Kuskokwim. Partly cloudy, highs in the 60s with showers today. 63 in Fort Yukon. For the Yukon Flats, partly sunny, scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms through the rest of the day and the evening. There could be some gusty winds and small hail with those thunderstorms. Highs in the upper 60s to lower 70s. Across the Yukon Flats, 63 in Eagle, scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon and evening, highs in the lower 70s. 65 in Fort Wainwright and Fairbanks with partly cloudy skies. Partly sunny, scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms across the Fairbanks metro today, highs in the lower 70s. Merrillfield and Anchorage, fair and 57, partly cloudy. Highs in the upper 50s to mid 60s today. McGrath, once again, sunny, 61 degrees. Skies remain sunny today. Cloudy, though, tonight. Highs in the mid to upper 60s. Lows in the mid to upper 40s tonight. Things do become cloudy over the weekend, though we will see some sunshine tomorrow, but showers over the weekend as well. Sunset at 12:02 tonight. Sunrise tomorrow at 4:35. If you have a song request, you're welcome to give me a call. 524-3001, 1-800-605-KSKO. A shout out to all the folks working at DNR. Saw the lovely Tina this, earlier today. I was going to say this afternoon. It's only been afternoon for 12 minutes. But saw Tina this afternoon, and Mel will be here this afternoon on the air. It's going to be a good day, because you know what? It's a Friday. Phil Collins and the Police coming up. Here's George Harrison in Bangladesh.
My friend came to me, sadness in his eyes, told me that he wanted help before his country dies. Although I couldn't feel the pain, I knew I had to try. Help us save some life. Thank you.
Bangladesh. It is George Harrison right here on 89.5 KSKO. And I got a birthday request that just came in a little bit ago. Happy birthday to Candace in Chalkeetsuk from Aunt June. Happy birthday to Candace in Chalkeetsuk from Aunt June. Candace, this song is for you. It's We Are the World.
Down and out. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation is a proud sponsor of KSKO. YKHC encourages you to stay up to date with regular health visits, including cancer screening and chronic care appointments. More information at www.ykhc.org.
Synchronicity, it's the police on KSKO. Happy birthday to Cheryl Dementiff in Holy Cross from her friends in Anchorage. Louise, I do believe. Happy birthday, Cheryl in Holy Cross. 12:31, almost 12:32. We're going to take a look at weather now. It's being brought to you by Donlin Gold, whose motto is everyone going home safe and healthy every day. Right now in McGrath, a very comfortable, very sunny blue sky, 61 degrees. We got a few clouds in the sky, literally a few. It's not making a hill of beans difference. Mostly sunny today across the upper Kuskokwim. Highs in the mid-60s, lows in the mid to upper 40s. Cloudy tomorrow, becoming partly sunny later on. More clouds tomorrow night. Some isolated showers possible. Highs in the mid to upper 60s tomorrow. Lows in the upper 40s to lower 50s tomorrow night. Scattered to numerous showers Sunday near the mid-60s. Cloudy and mid-60s on Monday. And it looks like lower 60s-ish is kind of where we remain through midweek next week. Fair and 56 right now for the lower Yukon and Anoka Valleys. Partly sunny, isolated showers today. More showers and clouds tonight. Highs in the lower to mid-60s. Lows in the mid to upper 40s. Clouds, scattered showers. Highs in the mid to upper 60s. Lows in the upper 40s. Clouds on Sunday becoming partly sunny for the lower Yukon. Scattered showers, and we are going to see highs on Sunday in the lower to mid-60s, clouds on Monday for the lower Yukon, and highs in the mid-50s. Cloudy and 58 in Sleetmute for the lower Kuskokwim. Partly cloudy today. Isolated rain showers this afternoon and evening. Highs in the 60s, lows in the 40s. Cloudy tomorrow for the lower Kuskokwim. Isolated afternoon showers becoming a little more numerous tomorrow evening. Highs in the 60s, lows in the mid-40s to lower 50s. Clouds, scattered rain showers, and highs in the 60s Sunday. Clouds in 60s on Monday for the lower Kuskokwim. 63 and a few clouds in Fort Yukon. For the Yukon Flats today, partly sunny, some isolated showers and thunderstorms. There could be some gusty winds and small hail in the afternoon and evening associated with those thunderstorms. Highs in the upper 60s to lower 70s, lows in the 40s. Mostly sunny to partly sunny tomorrow, isolated thunderstorms possible. Highs in the lower to mid-70s, lows in the mid-40s to lower 50s Saturday night. Partly sunny, scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms Sunday. Highs in the lower to mid-70s, cloudy and 70 on Monday. 63 degrees in Eagle right now. Scattered showers and thunderstorms possible on and off in Eagle through Sunday night. Highs in the lower to mid-70s, lows in the lower 40s, highs in the upper 60s on Monday with clouds and Eagle. Partly cloudy and 65 at Fort Wainwright and Fairbanks. Sunny today and tomorrow. Highs in the lower to mid-70s across the Fairbanks Metro, lows in the upper 40s to lower 50s. And at Merrill Field in Anchorage, 57. Partly cloudy, highs in the upper 50s to mid-60s, lows in the 40s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, highs in the mid-60s to lower, mid-50s to lower 60s. Tomorrow in Anchorage, upper 50s to mid-60s with sun on Sunday, mostly cloudy in 60s. Mostly cloudy in 60s on Monday. 61 in McGrath, a few puffy clouds out there, but still beautifully full, sunny, blue skies. Highs in McGrath, highs in the mid to upper 60s today, lows in the upper 40s tonight. Sunset at 12:02 tonight. Sunrise tomorrow at 4:35. Got Lenny Kravitz coming up and Bob Dylan. Here's the boss from New Jersey. Born to Run. It's Bruce Springsteen on KSKO.
This is James Menendez from the BBC World Service. KSKO has kept the Western interior informed for over four decades. And now the BBC World Service brings you news you can trust from around the globe. Weekdays at 5 a.m. and 7 p.m. on KSKO.
Fly Away. It's Lenny Kravitz on KSKO 1245. Instead of messages this hour, we got a little bit of an interview to do. I'm talking with Haley Reed from the Renewable Energy Alaska Project. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Paul.
So tell people what the Renewable Energy Project is in real brief for those who may not be familiar and why you're in McGrath.
Sure. So we've probably been talking about this ETIP project for the last year and a half. It stands for the Energy Transitions Initiative Partnership Project. And we've been working with the city and a committee with the city to come up with a community energy plan for McGrath on what direction you want your energy system to go. And I think we really have a strong strategy for where McGrath wants to focus and what might be potential energy sources in the future. And we'll definitely have more about that later. But one component of the community energy plan that the committee identified as important to them and our community is housing and making sure that people's homes are safe and running efficiently to save you money and save you energy.
And one thing that came to mind is we have a fair amount of older homes here. People's homes are probably not as energy efficient as they think. Have you done these before, these energy home energy audits, and surprised people with how inefficient they actually are?
That's a great question. I'm here with a certified energy rater through the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, Derek James. So you might see him walking around with our group. And he's done many more of those than I have. But I think we have noticed when we're doing some tests, yeah, we're here to do home energy audits on homes for free. And one of that components is a blower door test. So we set up a false door where your door would be, and we depressurize the home. We suck all the air out, and that's going to show us how many leaks are in your home. And even just from doing those, I can feel some pretty, you know, you can't see these leaks probably, but from what we can tell, we should have some good reports to offer folks and some good idea of how efficient their home is.
And it doesn't take much for a home to be inefficient,
right?
With energy, it could be one like crack, or like the door. There's a gap under the door. That's what I was looking for. All it takes is one crack or a gap under the door, and that can blow your energy efficiency out of the water.
Sure. Yeah.
And what else is involved in a home energy audit? Is there more to it than that?
Definitely. So we are taking measurements of every window, door, basically making a model of your home and writing down all of your heat sources and your water heater, what type it is. So we can put it all in this software that will let us know how well your house is insulating. Maybe we'll do some tests on your water heater and on your heating sources and see if they're running efficiently, making sure they're not emitting any carbon monoxide into your home and all of the vents are working properly. So it takes about 1.5 to 2 hours to complete all of the tests. But we luckily have a team. We've got a couple local trainees with us. We got April Curiel and Renee Egrass and Ralph Morgan following us and learning the trade. So hopefully they can be a resource to the community in the future.
Have you heard from people after you've done this, they say, man, that energy audit ended up saving me a lot of money?
Well, we haven't given out the reports yet, so we have a lot of paperwork to do on the back end that we
will... I'm not even talking about energy audits here in McGrath. Have you heard in the past about from people, whether directly or through the grapevine, that your energy audit saved them money?
Well, yeah. So the energy report will give you recommendations of what improvements could be done in your home, which may be as simple as caulking a window, or it could be doing some upgrades to major appliances. So it really depends. There's going to be a prioritized list of, like, from the most crucial to the least crucial. And If you can start tackling those, and hopefully we can give some more information about funding available to help get those improvements done, then it is going to be a really big energy saver once you start knocking those things off the list. And it's just nice to know what could help next. You know, you don't have a lot of mystery in it. It's like prioritized. Okay, this is going to save me the most money and it might cost a medium amount. So maybe that's what you tackle first.
And when you let's say you work on 50 homes in McGrath, just for the sake of this discussion, and you identify energy efficient issues to resolve there, that can make a difference in the community, because when it's one little problem, but in 50 different locations, that compiles and piles up, and it would make a big difference community-wise, because then we're using, say, less diesel from the power plant or whatever to power McGrath. So this is all part of making energy more efficient and more affordable, because it might end up saving you, you know, $50 a month on your power bill. And that, again, is, you know, less diesel, less money, less cold air being sucked in by the hot air, stuff like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to be heating outside in the winter, and we don't want leaky cracks to get in your way. So another resource that you can join us tomorrow at 12:30 at MNVC, and we're going to have an energy efficiency workshop and potluck. So bring a dish, and we'll talk about some of the easier things you can do to improve your energy efficiency, and then we'll talk more about what will be in the report that we will send to you after your audit, and how you might go about making some of those improvements with rebates and resources like that.
And what are some of the most common energy inefficiencies you find that have been found in homes?
Well, this is also my first rodeo in getting trained in this. I'm learning alongside the local trainees, but our certified energy rater, Derek, will be at the potluck, like with all your questions ready to answer any energy efficiency questions that you have. So I might not be the best to give that information, but if you come to the potluck at 12:30 tomorrow, we'd be happy to answer it.
What is next for this project?
So this is one component of our community energy plan, and we were able to receive this funding through the Cold Climate Housing Research Center. It's actually topping off some funding that the community has already applied for through the HUD Healthy Homes Program. So in the next few months, someone or a team from that program, from NREL and Rural Cap, will be coming out. And luckily, we won't have to duplicate any of the houses that we've already visited. But they have some funding to actually make the retrofits to about 20 homes. So if you are interested and you meet the requirement of being 80% of the median income of the community, then you should reach out to Sharina McKindy at MNVC or Joyce Turner and let them know you're interested in being a part of the HUD Healthy Homes Grant. They have about $10,000 per home, up to 20, to make the retrofits that we are recommending. So that's a great next step. And then we'll just be looking forward to what's next with the community energy plan with the ETIP project.
And that you kind of answered the next question I was going to ask is, is there funding available for this? So if you get an energy audit and it reveals some issues, you might be thinking, well, I don't have the money for it. Well, there's funding available for that. And that's the important part, because we have got people that understand, everyone involved in this project understands what living in the bush is like, correct? They understand what living in the bush is like. They understand it's expensive, and they just want to make it a little bit better. Right, Haley?
Absolutely.
So how can the best way to get more information is attend the potluck tomorrow at 12:30 at MNVC. But if someone can't make the potluck, like maybe they're out of town right now, but they want more information. And let's say maybe they want an energy audit, but they just couldn't, they weren't available this time. With the two or three trainees that we've got here in McGrath, let's say after you guys leave on the 4th, is it?
Yep.
Will there be the option, let's say someone was out of town mm-hmm. and they're coming back next at the end of next week. Could they coordinate with Ralph and Renee and April to do another, to do an energy audit when they're home?
That would be the best case scenario. I think we need to just do a little bit more research on if there's equipment that we can send out here mm-hmm. for them to work with once our energy raider takes his equipment. But generally, I think they do have a really good idea of what to do with even regarding without the equipment, and they could send over that information to our energy raider, and he could do some of those calculations at home. So I do think there's potential to keep using them as a resource after this.
And before we wrap it up, where can people go online if they want to read a little bit more about renewable energy and stuff like that? Is your organization's website a good start? We'll have links to go learn more about things and stuff.
Absolutely. You can head to realaska.org, and there's plenty of educational resources and calculators that you can use to find the energy use of things in your home, like light bulbs or appliances, and just generally more information about energy efficiency. But I would really love to see you at the potluck tomorrow at 12:30, and we have some resources and some fun little tips and tricks for you. But yeah, I just wanted to thank everyone who's let us enter their home so far and have signed up to do an energy audit with us. I think we had about 25 homes on our list, and everybody's been so welcoming and really helpful throughout the process. So thanks so much to all the community members who's helped make that possible.
All right, Haley Reed, thank you for coming in to talk to me this afternoon.
Thanks, Paul.
All right. It is KSKO McGrath, Alaska NPR News coming up in about 5 minutes. Here's the reflections.
Just